Deanna Price, U.S. Olympian from Rio. Welcome. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Let me first of all ask you, we'll kind of go chronologically here. Start back in the early summer when you were at the Olympic trials in Eugene, Oregon, trying to make the team.
Yes.
And when you found out you made the team, I saw the video, your reaction was so genuine. I think that's what we would all do if we found out we made the team. You start screaming. You're so happy. Tell us about what you were thinking at that point.
So whenever I went for competition, I was at the Olympic trials. It was the last throw. By that time, it kind of sank in because I was the last thrower that I made the Olympic team. I was top three. And I took it. I threw the ball. And when I stepped out, I remember just walking straight to my coach, and my legs started kind of get a little wobbly on me, and I started getting a little bit nervous, and just this pure excitement and just everything that you've worked for so many years is finally coming together, that you made the hardest team to ever make in your life. And I just remember just grabbing my coach and just started crying. I just started crying, and I was so happy and so excited, and I was able to just sit there and just kind of, it was kind of overwhelming because, you know, you made the Olympic team. Holy crap, I made it. And all I remember is all I could do is just scream, because all the hard work, all the pain that you've gone through throughout the years, it was meant for something. And to me, just screaming out loud was how I could release it and just be like, oh, this is it. I made it. I fought for it. I was like, now I wanted to make my own at the Olympic Games.
Absolutely. And another neat aspect of this is that another Saluki, Gwen Berry,
yes,
went with you. Two,
yep,
of the three female hammer throwers for the U.S. competed
at SIAs.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's that say about our program that was the case?
Oh, we have one of the best throwing programs in the nation. Hands down, we have been top five, I believe, every single year. We've just been phenomenal. We take pride in being able to use our strength, our technique, and really excel in the throwing events. And that is why we had two Salukis in the hammer throw. I was like, I don't know if you realize, but Raven Saunders, who was also a Saluki, but being taught now at Old Miss with Coach John, who was a former Saluki, and then the head coach was a Saluki. I was like, we had about 5-6 people there that were Salukis. And to me, I'm just sitting there, I was like, that's a representation of our university. We are able to fight, and we do things right because we put in the time, we put in the effort, and we go after what we want.
Sounds great. I have to admit, all of us connected with SIU were walking around a little more proud this summer after that happened, after
what
you and Gwen did. Absolutely. Now, you knew you were going to the Olympics after the trials, but there was still an issue with your parents. It's cost a lot of money to get people to Rio for the Olympic Games.
Yes.
Tell me about the process you went through to help get them there.
So we didn't want to basically jinx it and buy the tickets and get the hotels and everything until we knew that we were going. You know, there was 5-6 girls who had A standard who had the opportunity of being able to go. So what we did is, right after I made the Olympic Games and I was on my way to Rio, my parents, you know, they got a quote from the travel agent before the Olympic trials was only $9,000. After, it went up to $20,000. And it was just absurd. And I remember my mom looking at me, and she's like, Deanna, there's no way we can do this. She goes, I am so sorry. There's no way. And I refused to take that answer. I was like, this isn't happening. So I set up a GoFundMe account for my mom and dad to make sure that, you know, the money, whatever we get, that's going to help them so they can come see me. And in 11 days, we raised $18,000. I had no idea that it was going to blow up that big and how fast, because we hit our goal. And I was like, hot dang. And,
yeah,
you know, being able to do that and just represent and have my mom and dad there, I don't think people realize how much that meant to me, because I was in the stadium when I walked in. You know, you have thousands and thousands of people watching you, and then you have millions back home. And for me, when I'm there, I was competing, I was warming up, I wasn't throwing great, it wasn't going too well, I was hitting the cage, I was just not doing things right. And then all I hear is my mom's voice, and she's running around the arena on the top, and she's going, Deanna, screaming with the American flag. And I was like, oh, this is like any other competition, there's my crazy mom.
So that helped relax you,
yeah,
and kind of settle you in a little
did.
Bit.
It did. I was just like, oh, this is like every other competition. I was like, oh, I got this. And then I started throwing better. The ball started going through exactly where I needed it to go. And I was just like, all right, this is good. I'm ready to do this. And it took off. And I was very, very, very happy. Especially everyone who's been so supportive of me. You know, to raise $18,000 in such a short time, 11 days, that's crazy amount. And, you know, it was such a blessing because I got to be there with my family. You know, they watch you. Your parents, they clothe you, they feed you. Especially if you're an athlete, you have to put most of your time into just doing your athletic ability. You can't, it's hard to have a job and be an athlete. It is. It's extremely hard. And others that can do it, that's great. But my mom and dad made sure that, hey, we're going to take care of you. We're going to make sure that we get you to point A to point B when you need to go. I did softball, basketball, volleyball, gymnastics, soccer. They let me do anything that I wanted to do because they knew I had the potential to do something great. And they never imagined that it would be throwing the hammer, but they always thought it was going to be softball. But, you know, having them there kind of was like, here, this is the proof that you guys needed, that what you guys did for me, all the late practices, all the late running arounds, them just being so exhausted all the time because they had to get me to where I needed to go, that this kind of affirmed to them that they did it.
Right.
They helped me. And like I always say, it's never just me, it's we. Like, my community built me to who I am. And it just kind of upsets me whenever athletes say, I did this and I was the one. It never is just you. Your community is who you are. People, just meeting someone is going to build you to be a better person. You know, you're going to learn different things from meeting different people. And every time I meet someone, I always take something from that person. And that makes you a better athlete. That makes you a better friend. That makes you a better person.
Right.
So for me, having my mom and dad there was kind of that affirming that all the work that they did made me to be a great person. And that it kind of was like, whoa, we did it. We made it. I finally did it, Mom. You know, all those late times, we did it.
That's a great attitude and outlook on that. Now, your mom settles you down. You make it through preliminaries, and you're in the finals. Here you go.
In the finals.
What were you thinking at that point?
I was thinking, hot dang. I was like, I made it. I was the youngest one to make it through the finals, and then I made it to top eight. And when I made it through the top eight, I was going in, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, no one expected me to do this. Everyone was just kind of like, oh, she's, you know, she's only been doing it for 5 years. You know, she's not that great. You know, she's good, but, you know, she has a lot of years that she has to develop. And me proving that I got top eight kind of gave me that affirmation for me that I can go and I can play some medal next year, especially with the marks that I had coming in.
Right. Now, we were talking before we started recording, something I didn't realize, but you had a bit of a scare right before you competed in the prelims, which maybe set you back a little bit.
Yep. I was throwing the 10-pound hammer over 73 meters, which is heavier. But 2 days before competition, my face swelled up. The left side of my face went paralyzed. My lips looked like a bad Lindsay Lohan. Bad Botox going on there. And it swelled up, and basically, the doctors had to hurry up and do an emergency TUE, and they gave me some Benadryl and prednisone to make sure that, you know, I didn't die there in Rio. And because they were like, you take these pills or we're going to take you to the emergency room, one or the other. And I was like, okay, one pill, two pill. I was like, I am not going down in Rio. So I made sure that the TUE passed and I took the medication. I ended up sleeping for over 15 hours. The next day, which is not a good thing. Usually with being a thrower, you need to manipulate your CNS, which is your central nervous system. So it's firing at all cylinders. But with taking Benadryl and prednisone, it kind of knocks you down and you're not able to activate your muscles like they need to perform. So when I threw my first one, I was like, oh, that's a good one. And it came up only 69. I was like, oh, crap. I was like, that isn't going anywhere. So I had to pull up my big girl panties and get going. And luckily enough, I threw 70, 75. And then into the finals, I went 70, 95.
Right. So was it a bit of a mixed reaction when you finished eighth? You knew you obviously you're a top 10 thrower in the world, but yet you knew you had more in you possibly.
I had more in me. I'm definitely ready for vengeance at 2020. As long as I stay healthy, that's the key. You have to be healthy. You have to make sure you're stretching, you're eating, and you're doing everything right. And, you know, for me, now I'm out of college and I don't have that athletic support anymore. I was like, I have them as a community. They're great. But you know, that athletic check does come in handy every once in a while.
Sure.
So now I just actually will start a job at First Southern Banking. And I'm going to be working there. I'm very, very excited. So if anyone wants to come say hi, come see me. But no, just knowing that and knowing the potential that I had and what I was like fighting for at 2020, I think I can definitely be in the top three, hands down. I was like, it's going to be hard coming after Anita at 82.
Right.
But I definitely feel the potential, and I just have this great feeling that I can do something really big.